Thank you for taking the time to listen to this life-changing message from the Ministry of Faith Bible Chapel. We hope this message will encourage you in all parts of your life. At the end of this message, you will hear more information on how to contact our church family, as well as directions for you to visit us for any of our worship services. Until then, join us for the service in progress.
Of standing as a standard of righteousness that they could see what is right. I want you to know that God has done a great work in you and through you. I have traveled to Israel. This was my 25th time with the International Singers and Dancers. And I will tell you that I have never seen or experienced the purity of God's flow like I felt this time. And it is to the credit of those of you that are in the fray of raising your children. I have to tell you, standing for the standards of Christ, resisting the culture, teaching your children to be different, teaching them to honor the house of God above all things, you will never regret a moment that you did it. And you will never regret a moment that maybe you feel you sacrificed something else. The payoff right now is incredible in the kingdom, in the spirit realm. Keep at it. Keep at it. We are in the end times, and your kids have not only made a difference in Israel, but God has assigned them to make a difference. And so stand strong, and thank you for what you're doing. We left on May 31st, and we came back July 17th, but some days we felt like we'd been in Israel only for a few moments, and some days we felt we'd been there our lifetime because of the intensity of the schedule and the intensity of what God wanted to accomplish. So to help you understand that, I want the internationals to talk to you. And I ask them to answer four questions. And some of them are going to give you the answers to those questions. And the first question that I asked was, what was your favorite site? And we're going to start with Amber.
Hi.
Just talk. They'll turn it on.
Oh, hi. My name's Amber Brown. And my favorite site, it has been every year that I've gone, would be the Mount of Beatitudes. I love going up there and just, we read them, we're studying them in our devotional this year, but we always read the, at least the beginning part of the Mount of Beatitudes on the Mount of Beatitudes, and then we get time on our own to go and pray and read your Bible and just listen, and I always just have a great experience with God there, so.
My name is Janae Hall, and my favorite site was at Yad Vashem, and that is a Holocaust museum. One story that really stood out to me was about a man who was a teacher, and I feel like ever since I was young that the Lord has been preparing me to be a teacher, and I have had that calling ever since I was little, and I feel like at this place God really spoke to me in a way that he never did before about teaching. And this story is about a man who was not a Jew, but his students were Jews, and the Nazis were taking his students away, and he said, no, I want to go with them. And they said, no, you don't have to come, but the teacher said that he didn't want his students to be scared. And so he went with his students every step of the way, even to the point where they died in the gas chambers. And I felt like when I heard that story, God told me at that moment that, Janae, I've prepared you to be this teacher. I've prepared you to not be lacking in zeal, but to have this passion of this man in the same way that I have passion for my children. And I think God was telling me that when I'm a teacher someday, that I will be the teacher to go to that point to die for my students because I love them so much, just as the Lord died for his children. And that just, it rocked my world, and I was broken, and I think God talked to me so clearly that day, and I praise him for that. I love that experience. I love that moment, and I'm going to cherish it for the rest of my life when I'm teaching, when I'm a mother, and that experience, I wouldn't give anything up for that. So.
Hi, I'm Zach Bernstein. One of my favorite places was the upper room where we visited, mainly because when we got there, we had a time of worship and hearing from God, and it was an intense moment just of hearing from God, and God spoke into my life about things. And but as we were worshiping, it was really cool. Like, we were singing songs, but out in the corner, there was a Korean tour, and they started worshiping in their language. And then up the stairs, there was a group from Africa, and so they were singing in African. And it was just amazing just to hear a whole bunch of tongues just worshiping God. So,
I'm Kaylee Lampo, and my favorite site was Mount Carmel, which is where the prophet Elijah, or God used the prophet Elijah to speak to the prophets of Baal, and which then converted them back to God. But it was just, looking at the valley was beautiful, and God's presence there was just amazing, and yeah.
Emily Lindquist couldn't be here tonight, but I want to tell you about her most favorite site, because I think it'll speak to you. I'm going to read to you from Genesis chapter 23. I'm going to read part of the story, and I will tell part of the story. Sarah died. Then Abraham went to find a place to bury her. And he said to the sons of Heth, I'm a foreigner and a stranger among you. Give me property for the burial place among you, that I may bury my dead out of my sight. And the sons of Heth answered Abraham, saying to him, hear us, my lord, you're a mighty prince amongst us. Bury your dead in the choicest of our burial places. None of us will withhold from you his burial place, that you may bury your dead. Then Abraham stood up and bowed himself to the people of the land, the sons of Heth. And he spoke to them and said, if it is your wish that I bury my dead out of my sight, hear me and meet with Ephron, the son of Zohar, for me, that he may give me the cave of Machpelah, which he has, which is at the end of his field. Let him give it to me at the full price as property for the burial place among you. Now Ephron dwelled amongst the sons of Heth, and Ephron the Hittite answered Abraham in the presence of the sons of Heth, all who entered at the gate of his city, saying, no, my lord, hear me. I will give you the field and the cave that is in it. I will give it to you in the presence of the sons of my people. I give it to you, bury your dead. And Abraham bowed himself before the people of the land. He spoke to Ephron in the hearing of the people of the land, saying, If you will give it, please hear me. I will give you money for the field. Take it from me, and I will bury my dead. Then Ephron answered Abraham and said to him, my lord, listen to me. The land is worth 400 shekels of silver. What is that between you and me? So bury your dead. And Abraham listened to Ephron, and Abraham weighed out the silver for Ephron, which he named in the hearing of the sons of Heth, 400 shekels of silver, currency of the merchants. So the fields of Ephron, which was Machpelah, which was before Mamre, the field and the cave which was in it, and all the trees that were in the field, which were within, and all surrounding borders, were deeded to Abraham as a possession in the presence of the sons of Heth, before all who went into the gate of his city. And after that, Abraham buried Sarah, his wife, in the cave of the field of Machpelah, between Mamre, that is Hebron, in the land of Cana. We were privileged to visit Hebron. And while we were there, we visited the cave of Machpelah, where Abraham is buried, where Isaac is buried, where Jacob is buried, where Sarah, Rachel, Leah, and Rebecca are buried. The fathers and mothers of our faith. It is known archaeologically that they are there. that is where they are buried. Traditionally, the tradition goes back several thousand years. So while we were in Hebron, Hebron is militarily and politically a hot place, meaning that there's great friction there between Arabs, between Palestinians and Jews. So sometimes it's okay and sometimes it feels not okay. We were there, it felt okay. So the army took us, and we had been to the Cave of Machpelah before, but this time it really impacted Emily. She said just to be where the Bible says something, to know that what the Bible says, here it is. But then we went to a most amazing place in Hebron. And Scott, could you put that picture up? We went, where's Scott? Oh, there it is. Our guide that took us around Hebron was a Jewish man that has lived there from the United States, that's lived there for years. Very well spoken. And every time, I've seen this site twice, and both times it took my breath away. And it took Emily's breath away this time. What are you looking at? You were looking at the very stairs that Abraham walked up into the city gate where he did the deal to buy the Cave of Machpelah from Ephron. This is the ancient gate, the stairs to the ancient gate of the city of Hebron. On the left, that wall on the left dates to the time of Noah. The wall on the right dates to the time of Abraham. It's not a lot of places in this world that you can point at the earth and say, right here, Abraham. But that's one of them. And I've only seen it twice, but every time I see it, it just takes me to this story and literally takes my breath away to say, because the land of Israel reveals and confirms and demonstrates to the world the truth of the biblical text. So that was an amazing experience for Emily, but I have to tell you, it was for me too. I asked them another question. I said, what was your most impactful experience? Now, I asked them also what was their spiritually most impactful experience, and I viewed those as two separate things, and they're really sharp, and they got it. So several of them are going to talk to you about the experience that was sort of a wow for them.
My name is Rod Ginn, and this summer was my privilege to be my 20th trip to Israel with the internationals. So I've had a lot of impactful experiences over the years and this year as well. But the one that's really stood out for me was the fact that we had 10 first-time people in our performance group this year. God brought 10 new people into the ministry. And it was very impactful for me to be able to spend 17 days watching God speak to their hearts and to see the land speak to them, and watching God pour into their spirit his truth about Israel and his love for Israel and his love for the Jewish people, and to know that God imparted wisdom and knowledge and deep love into each of their hearts, that he gave us a word at the end of the trip that I shared with the group, that he told them, don't leave it in Israel. Take it home with you because I have a purpose for it in your life. To see God speak to them and to have that privilege to be able to watch the next generation step into their role and to be able to reach that the Jewish people and to show unconditional love and support for the folks in Israel. So that was my impactful experience.
Hello, my name is Ari Lewin, and I think what impacted me the most was seeing how our show brought such like life and joy to the soldiers who felt abandoned and hated.
I'm Amber again, and my most impactful experience was we went to this place called Tel Fahar, I think, and it was a place that was controlled by the Syrians before the 1967 war, and there were bunkers around there where the Syrians were, and I learned about how they found them was because an Israeli spy named Eli Cohn got really deep into the Syrian intelligence area, and he was able to find a way to alert the Israelis, and it was just a really cool story, the small glimpses I heard of it, so I actually found the book at a bookstore that we went to called Our Man in Damascus. Halfway through, it's really good, you should all read it, and so that I could learn more about him, and I just thought his patriotism and dedication to his country was just incredible.
Hi, my name is David Hawkins, and my most impactful part of this trip was being able to go to the Wailing Wall during Shabbat. Now, we had already been there like a week or two earlier, and so I was thinking to myself, like, I didn't really know how different it was going to be, but our guide on the way there, he was like, when we get there, don't look right away. He said, turn to the right, walk up to the top of these stairs, and then turn around at once and just see everything. So I did. When I got to the top and turned around, I was just overwhelmed seeing everything that I saw. It was fullest I'd ever seen an area being occupied. You just see hundreds of Orthodox Jews just praying, and then hundreds and hundreds of soldiers just dancing for God, and just seeing everyone there just so devout, praising their God, and it just overwhelmed me, and it was just an amazing experience.
Hi, my name is Danielle Parks. For me, the most impactful part of the trip was the Garden Tomb. For me and a lot of you, you know, you're raised with these Bible stories, and it's amazing to think about as a child and as an adult when you read it. But to go there and to see where it happened is something completely different. And the Garden Tomb, walking into it and just seeing where Jesus' body would have been laid was absolutely indescribable. Just that place, that real place where it really happened, where hell nor any man-made place could contain Jesus, was, it was shaking, life-shaking. And it was just absolutely amazing to see there where you can touch it and you can see it with your own eyes, not just read about it. So,
my most impactful site was Mount Herzl. It's a mountain where a bunch of soldiers are buried. It's the equivalent to Arlington. And just seeing all those graves and all those soldiers that have died for the freedom of Israel and essentially the freedom of America just impacted me because they were willing to go out and serve their country.
Then I asked them the question, what was the spiritually most impactful thing? The thing that when they saw it didn't just move them emotionally and in their minds, and it was stamped as a moment for them, but that somehow or another God did something in them that was an eternal thing. And we'll start with Danielle.
For me, spiritually, the most impactful thing was just the grateful hearts of the soldiers that we performed for. I mean, you know, when we first arrive at a base, a lot of them don't know why you're there. They kind of look at you and they're like, why are these Americans here on this base? And as soon as we perform, just faces light up and they sing and they dance and they just make joyful noises unto God. And it's just the most amazing thing to see them, you know, go from the weary, tired, working soldiers that they are to, you know, just these joyful, happy, overflowing people. And God just really touched my heart after the performances, especially when the soldiers come up to you and they just say, thank you. Thank you so much for being here. I had soldiers several times come up and just say, you know, we work hard. We're out in the sun all day. It's hot. It's hard work. And, you know, to have something like this and to know that there are people out there that care about us, that love us and support us, it gives us the strength to keep going. And that was just a pivotal point for me, just to understand this is why we're here. You know, I mean, we're of course told why we're going and we understand that, but to see it and to feel it was absolutely phenomenal.
Hi, I'm Connor McCain, and my most spiritually impactful part was pretty much multiple places while we were touring, we were given time to just listen to God and see what he had to say. at places like the Garden Tomb and the Mount of Beatitudes. But my most impactful time was actually at Tel Dan, when we were on the ruins of the Northern Temple. When the two countries split, there were two temples set up, and this was the northernmost of the two temples. And we're sitting on the ruins, and I walked over and was just sitting on this rock wall looking over kind of this plains area. And it felt like I was in my own room with God. Even though we had a tour behind us trying to push us through, it just felt like I was in my own room. And I just got to talk with him, and it was probably the most amazing prayer session I've ever had.
My name is Justin Friedman, and I've been privileged to go to Israel many times. And the most spiritually impactful thing for me on this trip was being able to baptize seven of my friends up here in the Jordan River. And you're going to hear a little bit more about that in a second. But, you know, we live in a tough world today. And when you're standing there in the Jordan River and these young people who are the next generations come up to get baptized, they're making a statement that they're going to follow Christ in this world. And just to be able to stand there with them in that moment of obedience and supplication to God is really an amazing thing. And then Rod and I would pray for them, and just to hear the amount of things that the Holy Spirit says to you to speak into their lives in that moment is really an incredible thing to be able to be a part of. And so seven of these guys and girls got baptized this year, and so I'm going to let some of them tell you about that. And I guess we'll start with TJ because he's the closest.
Oh, David. David.
All right, my name's TJ Haas, and it was an amazing experience. I mean, it's a place where Jesus was baptized, and that's enough to make it indescribable. But just for me, when I came out of the water, I was just overcome by just an indescribable joy, and I just couldn't stop smiling, and it was so amazing. And it's a moment I'm going to cherish for the rest of my life.
For me, personally, like, just getting into the water, and just, it's not the cleanest water, if you've ever been there. And, like, you expect it to be just, like, super clean, like, because Jesus went in there and stuff. Like, some people, but for me, it was just incredible just knowing that that water Jesus was in, and that the moment when I was baptized, just never been felt so close to God before in my life. And just I'm never going to forget it. Just a great experience.
My name is Addison Cohen, sorry. This was my most spiritually impacting moment on the trip. I'm going to sum it up here in the fact that I started crying when Danielle was the first one to go, and I didn't stop until TJ, because he was the last one. When it was my turn, I went in already with like a little bit of tears in my eyes, and just the words Rod had to speak over me just like lit a fire. And then when I went down and came back up, like I felt like, you know how you feel like a weight's been lifted off my shoulders? And I knew right then it was a new start and a new beginning going forward, and I'm never going to be the same after that.
Thank you for giving that these things could happen. I want to read to you what Emily said, because this is profound. Emily's been, I think, how many times? Seven or eight times to Israel. And she said, the most spiritually impact experience for me on the trip was performing at some of the bases that we had performed for in the past. Each base has a spiritual sense about it. There are some performances that are a real spiritual battle. This year, we returned to a couple of the bases where we'd battled for in the past. We'd battled against the spirits of darkness, and there was a clear sense that God had taken the enemy's ground. One could sense light around the base. It seemed as if the darkness had fled. So that was encouraging to see that it wasn't just a temporary reward of seeing soldiers respond and be excited and say thank you and be refreshed, but it was a lasting reward of breakthrough that we saw that the Lord had done through our faithfulness of coming year after year. Pretty. We want to also, for all of you that took prayer cards, that makes the difference. I mean, if we don't have an army of people praying, it can't happen and it won't happen. And so Justin wants to just say thank you and tell you why that's so important and why it was for him this year.
The prayers are really, really significant, and they are impactful even though Israel's on the other side of the earth. Our second to last show was at an Air Force base in the south, and the stage was not exactly set up for dancing. It was actually pretty precarious for dancing, and so we gave it the good old college try and really tried to make it work as hard as we could. But halfway through the show, I really rolled my ankle really bad. I've done it a lot of times before, and I could tell it was a bad one. But the way it rolled, I could still walk on it and put full pressure on it, and I could still dance. And we had one more show left, and it was a really incredible and significant show that we had to do. So I know that your prayers for our strength and health really made a difference, that it could have been a lot worse than it was.
Justin said, I heard something snap, and I went, oh, no. Oh, no. So the faithfulness of God to see us through. We did 12 performances. And if you put up the map, I have this laser thing. I hope I don't blind somebody with it. I'm going to try to show you where we were. Maybe, Scott, you could do this. Do you remember where they all were? Oh, Scott doesn't remember. Okay, I remember where they all were. This is going to be hysterical. Oh, no, maybe it's not going to be as bad. All right, the first base was at a place called Beit El. This is where Jacob had his dream about the ladder. There's a Homeland Security base there. We did a performance there. They took us to the biblical site of Beit El. It was our first performance. Usually our first performance is not a military base. It's sort of a civilian performance. It's easy. It's a beautiful stage. Everything about it's easy. Nothing about this one was easy. It was a tough stage. It was the first performance. I took one look at it, and I said, really, God? Really? But God. And Rod wants to tell you about that.
Yeah, you have to kind of understand the Beit El, where that base is right in the heart of Judea and Samaria, in the middle of what the world would call the West Bank. And territory that is under the sovereignty of the Palestinian Authority. Literally, we were hundreds of yards from the borders of Ramallah, which is the capital of the Palestinian Authority. As we're driving into the base, there's this giant sign on the road that says, if you're an Israeli citizen, you cannot come any further past this point because their life would be in danger and it's not allowed. And it was like Cheryl said, normally, historically, we do a what we call a civilian performance for our first show. And it's kind of like spiritual warfare 101. You kind of get your feet wet and get a chance to get a feel of what a show in Israel is like. But for whatever reason, God decided this year that we would jump in and do our first show in like spiritual warfare PhD level classes, right into the middle of the thick of it. So it was really amazing. A couple things that just amazed me about that show. Number one was that God trusted us enough that we were ready to step into the middle of the thick of it, and we didn't need to have a warm-up. He took us right into hit the home run the first day. The second thing that was amazing was that God opened the door for us to go to this base. It has not happened in the 20 years that I've been. We've been in this area like 2 times. It does not happen very often. And the other amazing thing was to see the young people who'd never been before go from novices to spiritual warfare professionals. Guy saw the Holy Spirit change them and turn them into fantastic performers during that hour that we stepped on stage. They stepped up with all the challenges that we had, and they were open, and they allowed the Holy Spirit to move in their lives, and God deposited something special in them, and he turned them into spiritual warriors that night. So that was what was cool about show number one.
Our second performance was right up here on the Lebanon border. It was an artillery base. It was a great performance. We had a great time. And the education officer there is over that entire unit. And she had another part of the unit on the Golan Heights, which we'll tell you about later. And she insisted that we do a performance for them. And so we'll tell you about that in a minute. That happens often while we're touring, while we're performing. They will, we'll get opportunities and people will beg us to go somewhere else. We actually, in the past, have changed our itinerary for that to happen. And we did that this time. She was insistent. She said, "My soldiers need you." I want you to hear that. She said, "My soldiers need you." She had never met us before. She just saw that performance. So then our next performance after that was a paratrooper base right up here on the Lebanon border. And that one was a lot of fun. It was cold. Yeah, it was cold that night. And when I tell you it was cold, I'm telling you, it was cold. But once again, it's just the amazing thing to watch these young people perform. I'm usually in the dressing room with the girls, hanging up their clothes because they have to change so fast. And so I will often be in there hanging up their clothes, though they do a great job. And it is unbelievable to watch them rip off clothes, pull on clothes, run out the door, buttoning up their shirts, grabbing their microphones, onto the stage, and you'd have no idea that that kind of chaos or pressure was on them. It's pressure. They don't have that much time to totally change an outfit, and I give them no mercy. You get out there, get that thing on, come on, pick up the pace, because the program has to keep moving. You can't have any dead time. They do amazing. Our fourth base was that other artillery base on the Golan Heights, right up here. And Haley's going to tell you about that.
Hi, my name's Haley Held, and this show was a two-a-day, so this was the first one of two, and it was in the middle of the day, outside, 90-degree heat, and it was wonderful. The soldiers just had so much fun, and they just had joy written all over their face, and they're young, 18, 19-year-olds, and it was so hot outside, they took bottles of water and were throwing it at each other, and they're just having so much fun. And after the show, they took us and did a demonstration for us with their tanks. And I was just amazed at how quickly they could turn into warriors. And for the first time in 7 years, I saw them as David's mighty men defending the country. And it just blew me away. And when we got back on the bus and I was reflecting over the show, I realized just the deep love that I have for the soldiers. It was deeper than anything I've ever felt before. And the majority of them, I didn't even know their names. I didn't know if they were going to die in some attack or not. And I was just wondering if anything that I would do would impact their life. And at that moment, a peace came over me that said, knowing that our show and the messages that we brought them did impact their life, and it's something that they would never forget.
The question always is, why do you as American Christians care anything about us? The whole world hates us. And it is an amazing moment to begin to speak life back to them and watch then what happens in the performance. I always laugh. I always say, I do not know how God uses a little song and dance routine to do such great things. But that was a great moment. They wanted to do that demonstration for us, which meant the siren went off like it was the real deal. Everybody had to be in full gear. They took off running. I just cried because they wanted to give us back a gift, and they felt the best gift that they could give to the internationals was, we want to show you what we do so that you know how much this meant to us by your coming. We did the second one that day. We did at actually the command headquarters of the Golan Heights, where they brought in soldiers from everywhere. And once again, lots of conversations about, why do you do this? This is amazing. Do you have any idea what this means to me? We've never seen this. You often after shows, soldiers, commanders with tears in their eyes saying, thank you, thank you. Then the next day, we went to, one of our favorite places on earth, Partesia. And let me see, it's right about right here. It's a little community started by Yemenite Jews. We go there for Shabbat. We stay with families. It is an incredible experience for everybody. We got this contact because Brenda Wygant, who was part of the internationals, was sitting on an airplane and just doing what you should do, and that was being friendly and reaching out. And she met a woman from Partesia, and we have been going there ever since. Rod, did you want to say something about that one? Okay. All right. The next one was a Saturday night. We left Partesia, and we went up here to a community called Me'alot. Funny name. Interesting community. It was a community of both Arabs and Jews that lived together very well. A tragic thing was about 30 years ago, there was a terrorist attack there that killed 37 children, actually 37 high school kids. So the community was had been marred by that great tragedy. I had been there maybe about, the last time I was there maybe was 25 years ago. It was breathtaking to go there this time and see the fulfillment of the biblical prophecy of rebuilding the land. I mean, it's a beautiful community. And Justin wants to tell you about that one.
This was our second, and we only did two civilian shows, but this was a civilian show. And like Cheryl said, it's a beautiful community. It's very close to southern Lebanon, which is controlled by Hezbollah, which is a terrorist organization. And they came under missile attack in 2006. And I think, except for Cheryl, none of us had ever been there. And we'd been talking about hoping that God would open the door to have a connection with a new community. And we'll have to see if that pans out in the future to connect more with Me'alot. But it was in a brand new theater, and it was a really great performance. And when the show was finished, the people that watched stood and gave us a standing ovation for literally 7 or 8 minutes. They did not stop clapping. And to be able to go into a new community where they turn on their TV every day and the BBC and CNN are telling them what Israel has to do to make peace and just hateful things and all these things against Israel, to be able to go in with a message and say, we as American Christians love and support you, and to see the effect that that had on them in a new place was really, really great.
The next base was also by Ramallah. We were on both sides of Ramallah, actually. And this was for a fighter intelligence base. Interesting. These are young men that are trained to go out into the field equipped as a fighter, but they go out and they literally hide and look around for days at a time, gathering an intelligence. So it's a very unique kind of unit. And this is the second time we've performed there. The name of the unit was Nitzan, right by Ramallah, and Addison wants to tell you about it.
This was my favorite base to perform at because we saw a bunch of people that we had met earlier in the trip or that we already knew, like a bunch of our bus driver Amnon's family were there. Was Shimon's daughter there? I think, yeah, she was there. And our education officer we had met earlier at our first show in Beit El was also there, so it was nice to see all them. But the other reason that I really liked this performance, A, because it was fun, and the soldiers had an awesome time, which is always what we're about. But after the show, her name is Miriam, and within the last couple years, I think, she lost two sons in various conflicts. One was killed in Gaza, and the other, where was it, Cheryl?
Lebanon.
In Lebanon. But she came up and spoke afterwards and told us that she said a lot of stuff that we blessed the soldiers and blessed her. But at the very end, she told us, for this hour that you guys perform, you guys made me feel happy again. after losing two of her sons. And I just thought that was really super cool that we were able to do that.
Our next performance was at Hebron, right about here. We talked about a site there, but we actually performed at a base there. And Haley wants to tell you about that.
After the show, I jumped in on a conversation with about five other soldiers and a couple from our group. And since I had just come into the conversation, I was asking the soldiers, how old are you? Where are you from? How long have you been in the Army? And most of them were 18 years old, had only been in the military for a couple of months. But one of them was 22, I believe. And he had been in the military 2 years, and he had 1 year left. And he was just telling me that he was going to be at that base for a couple more weeks, and then he was going to a base that was in the middle of the desert, that the closest city was Eilat, which is way down at the bottom, and he was just not really happy about that. And he was just telling us how tired he was, how he was just worn out and he was exhausted, but that our message had brought him hope and strength that he could get through that last year in the Army. And it was just really cool to see how it impacted his life.
Then our next one was for the Navy in Eilat. This is really one of our favorite places. I don't care much for Eilat personally. The kids love it, but because they go on a boat all day in the Red Sea and dive and have fun, and I just know that it's hot, and it's not my favorite place. But I love this base. This Navy base, for some reason or another, has just been so warm and kind, and we've performed there a lot of times. This year was amazing in lots of ways. Connor's going to tell you about it.
Okay, so first off, I'd like to acknowledge our sound company was amazing the entire time we were there. They were great, always helping us out. We'd show up, everything was set up, it was amazing. But when we went down to Eilat, their truck driving down got a flat tire, and so they had to transfer all of their stuff into another truck and keep driving. Well, our performance was supposed to start at 9, and at 8:30 we were still waiting for the stuff to show up. And so finally it shows up. It was right about 8:30. They finally showed up. We just started hauling stuff on the stage. Everybody's throwing stuff around. It was crazy. The soldiers started showing up, and they're sitting watching us set up, and we got done in record time. It was amazing, and everybody was helping. Even the dancers were figuring, what can I do? What can I do? And it was amazing. And the soldiers, they weren't as crazy as the Army guys at first, but then they got going, and it was an amazing performance. And then right near the end, we had a power outage. And so the singers ended up singing our last song a cappella. And then the power came back on, and the soldiers wanted us to do it with full sound. And so we had to get all regrouped, because we had started packing up, get all regrouped and do the song over again. And it was just amazing, and they went crazy. And it was just so amazing to see.
At that base year before last, the commander was very concerned because he needed some of his officers to re-up, and they were like saying they were done. And after our performance, four of his most outstanding officers who were ready to be finished came to him and said, I feel different. I feel different now. I'll go at it another year. So that was pretty phenomenal. Our next performance was Air Force. And that was on a stage that no human being should dance or sing on. But I'm telling you, these guys stepped up. You couldn't tell it. You would have no idea what a mess that was. As they were dancing, part of it was sinking. Sinking, yes. And they just continued like everything was just fine. And then our last performance was at a very unique base about right here. It's a commander's training base. This is not officers. These are young men that are training to be a commander of a tank. commander of artillery they are they're commanders of a small of smaller groups of men. We did this base last year. It was unbelievable. It was at the end of their training time, and God just spoke to me and said to me, "You are seeing David's mighty men." What happens there is really indescribable. Most everybody, except for the people that have already spoken, even though they also said this one was their favorite. So Janae's going to try to explain some stuff to you about it, and then Ari and TJ are going to tell you what their experience was.
Okay. Yeah. So these men, most of them are trained for the front lines, these commanders, and so I think just going into that, you can tell that these men just have a significant amount of stress and pressure on their shoulders, and I feel like as we were dancing and singing, you could see that burden and that weight being lifted off of their shoulders, and all of what they work for just turn into pure joy. And I think that in those moments that God was saying, for such a time as this, and everything that we had practiced for so long and everything we had worked for was for these soldiers right here, right now, and that that joy just filled them. And I think it was the joy of the Holy Spirit. And just seeing that, seeing the Lord work and seeing his joy translate from us into these men and give them that little oomph that they needed to keep going was completely fulfilling at that moment. What we had done was fulfilled.
I had so much fun at that base, like dancing with all the soldiers and stuff and just seeing how much joy God poured out on them and how happy it made them.
Yeah, well, like usually the dancers for the last song, we usually don't even finish the song. We go out and dance with the soldiers and engage with them. It's so much fun. In this particular performance, one of the soldiers like came up and hoisted me up on his shoulders, and we just went and danced, and it was such an incredible experience. It was so much fun.
It just sort of falls apart at the end. The dancers come out the second time, but it's funny to watch them. They rip off those Hasidic hats, and they just go racing out in the middle. And the dance, I mean, everybody is dancing. And that night, the next thing I knew, I mean, people were up on shoulders. There was so much joy that it's tangible. When that performance was over, it was our last one. We packed up, took off for Jerusalem. Our sound company sent two men that had not been with us the whole time, but to pack it up and get the equipment somewhere else so the two guys that had been with us all the time could just ride back with us back towards Jerusalem because they were exhausted. They said, "We don't work this hard." They just looked at me. They said, "We don't work this hard." They had done performances night after night after night in crazy places and places they'd never been before. They had to look at the map to find. And so he just said, "We don't work this hard." So the two guys that came, I talked to them before, and they were nice enough. They were sitting down and with their arms crossed in chairs, just sort of, you know, okay, don't know what this is about. They hired me to finish it up. When the show started, they were out of their seats. Their iPhones were out. They were taking pictures. They were calling people. They were dancing with the kids at the end. And one of them came up to me at the end, just as we were leaving, and he said to me, "I have seen," because he works for a sound company. He said, "I have seen every show you can imagine." He said, "I've seen the best that Israel can do. I've been to Vegas." He said, "I've never seen anything as good as this." Now, are we that good? No. But what is it? Like Janae said, it's the Holy Spirit. And that's what they can't. So we want to say thank you to you. There are so many other things that we could tell you. We've really run more than out of time. But I think you're going to enjoy this. Scott put together a video that might help you for 1 minute, be it in Israel, at a base that, you know, when you think of military base in Israel, you don't think Fort Carson, you think MASH. Okay, here we go.
People very gentle and polite, and it was really, really ta'anug. It was really fun and enjoy work with the American group from Colorado. I wish we work a lot more.
You know, I've seen those performances before, and just to think that at the end of every show, the soldiers didn't want to leave. They want to continue. Also because it was a good break for them, you know, from training activities, all kind of things that they're doing. Like a little more than an hour of doing nothing, just dancing and happy. And to see the faces of these soldiers so happy, this is something that really warms our hearts. And every commander, everyone, that all the bases, wherever we've been, they said they never saw such a thing like that. And in some places, even they said, we cannot believe that the soldiers can dance and can jump and do all this. This was really something that gave the soldiers the feeling to continue, to carry on with all these things that they're doing. And of course, you made their time. I can say you made their year, because the next year you're gonna come again and to start everything from the beginning. So this is like really something that I think like some of the soldiers, some of the officers told me, we're expecting and waiting for the next year.
You know, it's a change for us. We have the usual things we do all day long and then a big party at night because of you guys. Great time. Thank you very much.
Thanks.
My feeling is that I meet very nice people, very good people in your believing, that I'm in shock. I don't know that people in the United States think about us, like you said here in the show. And I think you are very good people. I swear this is from bottom of my heart I say that. I really impressed. I think I said it good, impressed, and I'm enjoy. It's like a party. I'm very enjoy. Thank you very much. Thank you.
It's a really good feeling that the soldiers get to see people from America, that they're so, I mean, you guys put so much effort into this. We can see that you practice on this a lot, and it's a really good feeling to see that you guys came all the way to Israel, and it's, you know, it was a fun show and stuff.
It was really strange when they played songs that all the Israelis like knew and were like, yeah, got really into it. And I feel like, I think they probably just learned them for the show, but like you could see how much they kind of like, I don't know, it was really touching to see that, yeah, like everyone's together.
Yeah. This night was amazing. Just the fact that y'all came out here supporting Israel's Christians coming to Israel is just, it's really touching. It really moved me a lot. And I think everyone here enjoyed it. You could feel all the excitement in the air. Everyone was participating. It was great. I really appreciate everything you did, and everyone here does too.
My life is not so simple, and still seeing people like you make me feel very, very, very good. Thank you very much.
Yeah, thank you.
Thank you.
One of those young men that spoke is a believer. And he just told me, he said, "You have no idea." He said, "I'm the only one on this base." And he said, "Just you coming," he said, "just refilled my heart." And he said, "Makes me more determined to get up tomorrow morning and say, how can I let my light shine before men that they may worship my Father who is in heaven?" At the Air Force Base, this is what the education officer said to me. And Air Force gets, it's like Air Force anywhere, they get the best of the best. And so actually, I'm always a little crabby about doing Air Force because it's like, really? They get the best of the best. And so we want to go there. No, we want to go to some, you know, little infantry, you know, that hasn't seen anybody come in months or ever. In most of the places we go, they say, nobody ever comes here. But she said to me, this is the first time, she said that I've ever seen my soldiers get off the grass and dance and participate. She said, I've never seen this. And so you just need to know that God moved. God moved. And what people were the most impressed with in Israel was not that we came once, but this was our 25th year. That I heard that more this year than any other year. Young soldiers saying, it's nice that you would come once, but they would say, I'm overwhelmed that this is the 25th year that you people do this. They said, that's a friend. And so let us not be weary in well-doing. This takes a lot of time, a lot of effort, and a lot of money. But I want you to know, I hope you captured it tonight. I hope God will bless you and reward you for how you prayed and what you gave financially, because I want you to know it is not in vain. It is not in vain. And I want to say this. All the young ladies, I want you to step forward. I want to say something about them. I'm not a crier, but I cried every day in Israel this year. Every day I cried. I thought, what's wrong with me? I'll tell you what was wrong with me is just the privilege of walking with purity. The ease of it was unbelievable. These young ladies get amazing kind of attention. You can only imagine. You can only imagine. I never was concerned for one moment. That's huge. I never felt like I had to go get them and say, come on, sweetheart, you need to get out of that. They handled themselves. They are the purity of the Lord, and they demonstrated it. Thank you. Bless you for coming. We went way over time. Wait till I get home. My husband's going to give me the business. So you be blessed. You be uplifted. We've got a table out there that will show you some of the gifts that they gave us. And here I go. I'm always pleading for something, but we're doing a garage sale. We're starting to collect your best stuff this weekend. I want all of you to go home and take stuff out of your house and bring it to us, because it will help us finish our year well.
We hope that this message has spoken something personal to you. If you would like more information about our church family or service times, please call us at 303-424-2121 or visit us at our website, www.fbci.org. Faith Bible Chapel currently meets in our Family Worship Center, located on the corner of 62nd Avenue and Ward Road.